Okay. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Come on in. We welcome you to Lord of the Harvest. Those of you that are online, we welcome you as well. This morning, I'm going to open up in Ephesians. A couple weeks ago, Pastor Oz did a sermon on grace. And I was in the Sunday school. I missed it. And last week, he reminded people, if you haven't heard it, you got to hear it. And it was like, oh, yeah, I forgot. I didn't listen. And so I went online and I listened to it. And it has literally changed the way I think about some things. I have always known God's grace to be there and free. But if you haven't listened to it, you have to listen to it. I've listened to it more than once, actually. So I just want to open with this scripture that it's been just resonating in my heart all week. Ephesians 2, starting at verse 1. And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Hallelujah, Lord. Lord, we are just so thankful and so grateful today, yes. Lord God, yes. That you have called us, that you have redeemed us, you have restored us, Lord God, from where we were, Lord God, in our sin, walking in our sin. And even today, Lord God, when we sin, yes. Lord God, your grace is there. Your grace is sufficient for us, Lord God. Yes. Your grace and your kindness.
Yes.
Brings us to repentance, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, that it is a free gift, that we can't earn it. We can't do anything to gain it for ourselves, Lord God, but it is free, that you give freely, Lord God, and that you created us. You created us as your workmanship, Lord God. That word workmanship is defined as poetry. We are poetic works of God that display the glory and the splendor of Jesus Christ, Lord God. And today, Lord God, as we gather together, may you be worshiped and glorified.
Yes.
May it be all about you today, Lord God. Yes, Lord. Even though it's Mother's Day, Lord God, we thank you and we ask you that you bless yes. all our mothers, Lord God, our spiritual mothers, our physical mothers, Lord God. Bless those, Lord God, that mother others, Lord God. May we display the mother heart of God today yes. because it is all about you, Lord God. Be yes. glorified in our midst today in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. First of all, a blessed Mother's Day. In Scripture, we see various images for motherhood. And the images Paul speaks of in Galatians 4, he talks about the heavenly Jerusalem being our mother. And so that's a picture of the nurture, the protection, the kindness, the love. And then, of course, John, in both the 19th and the 21st chapters of the book of Revelation, speaks of the bride as being the New Jerusalem. And that speaks, of course, of faithfulness to the Lord. And so for those mothers who have loved and manifested the nurture, the protection of God to their families, and mothers who have been faithful to the Lord, faithful to Jesus for their families, we bless you all and congratulate you on this day where we commemorate the work of mothers and the importance of mothers in God's kingdom purposes. Last week, I believe it was, I was going to share from 2 Corinthians 4. We didn't. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 4 for our Lord's Supper reading. And we're going to start in the first verse. Paul says, because of this, having this ministry, as we have been shown mercy, we do not lose heart. We do not embrace discouragement. Paul says the basis of New Covenant ministry is that we have been shown mercy, and mercy, the mercy of God, is what causes us to press through discouragement. And not only does it cause us to press through discouragement, but the second verse says, instead, or rather, we have renounced the hidden things that bring shame. And we do not walk around in craftiness, nor manipulative distortion of the word of God. It's actually manipulative, strategic behaviors, distorting the word of God to manipulate other people. Paul is obviously getting ready to talk about some people that are opposing his ministry to the Corinthians, which of course we looked at several weeks ago when we talked about 2 Corinthians 10 through 12. Paul is assaulted. He is assaulted. His churches are assaulted by manipulators. And again, people can use the word of God, just enough of the word of God to manipulate. But Paul continues and he says, we've renounced these secret and shameful things, and we don't deceitfully use manipulative strategies in the word of God, but rather by manifestation of the truth, and he's talking about manifestation of the truth in his life, in true new covenant ministry. True new covenant ministry says, take a look at my life. That's the proof. That's the proof. He says, but by the manifestation of the truth, we commend ourselves to the conscience of every man and woman in the presence of God. Our lives make an appeal to people's consciences. Conscience is that discernment of the Spirit inside of us that registers, this is of God, no, this is not of God. It's an inner Geiger counter that we all have, and we need to pay attention to it. It's the Holy Spirit. So what we do, we don't commend ourselves. You know, that's what Paul talked about, those enemies. They get up and they become their own witnesses. They testify to themselves. They bear witness to themselves. And of course, we know that Jesus said in the Gospel of John chapter 5, if somebody bears witness to himself, his testimony is not true. God needs to bear witness to us. Others need to bear witness to us. Our lives need to bear witness to it. But we don't toot our own horn and talk about how great we are. That's a complete proof that somebody's not walking in the Spirit of the Lord. No, our lives have to be what commends us to others. This is New Covenant ministry. And he continues on, and he says, but if our gospel is veiled, if our gospel is hidden. And he's implying that when we bear witness to ourselves, we're hiding the gospel. Because we're making ourselves the center instead of pointing to Jesus. The gospel always points outward. It points to Jesus. It doesn't point to ourselves and our own ministry and our own gifts. It points to Jesus. If indeed our gospel is veiled, it has been veiled to those who are perishing. A veiled gospel causes people to perish. A gospel that bears witness to Jesus causes people to flourish. It causes people to experience life. It causes people to experience grace. And then he continues that the ones who perish are the ones in whom the God of this age has blinded the minds of those who do not believe. See, the mind blinded hinders faith. Gospel blinded hinders faith. It's the power of the gospel going forth, that the truth that is in Christ Jesus, bearing witness to Jesus, living for Jesus. That's what penetrates blindness. And the sign that blindness is being penetrated is faith. The sign that blindness is entrenched is unbelief. And he continues, he says, so they would not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, the glory of the Messiah, who is the image of God. And it's seeing Jesus as he is. That's the brightness. We don't talk about ourselves. We don't talk about how we've been hurt. We don't promote ourselves. We don't talk about how you did this to me and you did that to me. We don't talk about how this politician or that politician or this circumstance or that circumstance is going to rescue me. We talk about Jesus.
Amen.
It's got to always be about Jesus. The more Jesus, the more life. The more Jesus, the more grace. The more Jesus, the more faith. The more it's about other things, the less it is about life and grace and hope and truth. For we do not proclaim ourselves, but Jesus, the Messiah, the Lord, and we proclaim ourselves your servants for the sake of Jesus. We do two things when we are walking in new covenant ministry. We proclaim Jesus and we say, I'm your servant. I will lay down, walk over me, do anything you need to get better. We live in a society that says, don't let anybody walk over you. If they walk over you, you get back up and you walk over them. That's not the gospel. What? Who was walking over whom when Jesus was hanging on the cross? The entire cosmos was walking on Jesus. And he said, come on, bring it on. I'm going to bring life. I'm going to release life. And then a powerful, powerful verse. And this verse was exploding in my spirit during worship. Because worship today was, I have those days where I am simultaneously in deep warfare and simultaneously worshiping Jesus. My head is being battered about. I'm being discouraged. I'm hearing lies and I'm worshiping the Lord. And then I'm hearing more lies and then I'm worshiping the Lord. But this is the verse that exploded in my spirit. Let the light shine, son, yes, as you're worshiping me. Let the light shine, son, yes, in the midst of the darkness. Yes. Let the light shine in the constant pummeling voice of Satan in your ear and in your heart and your mind. Let the light shine.
Yes.
And it was kind of like, take that, devil.
That's right. Amen.
For God who said, let the light shine out of darkness. And that's, Paul's making a reference to Genesis 1:1. Light be, God said, light be, and light was. He's saying the God who says that has shown in our hearts to give the light of the revelation of the glory of God in the face of Jesus. What did I need when I was worshiping? I needed the face of Jesus to say that, yes, this assault is normal worldly reality, but there's a reality that's greater than normal world reality, and that's let the light shine, because the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not overcome it. Ever. 100 out of 100 times, light wins, darkness flees. 100 out of 100 times. And then Paul gets back to the reality. We now have this treasure in jars of clay. We have the treasure in jars of clay. And when you have a jar of clay that's full of gold, you don't come in and say, look at this great looking jar.
That's right.
We're the jars,
that's
guy.
Right. That's right.
We're the jars. Jesus is the gold. He says, we now have this treasure in jars of clay so that the extraordinary power may be of God and not from us. Literally, not out of us. It doesn't originate in us. The gold doesn't, the jar doesn't create the gold.
That's right.
The gold is in the jar. But Paul immediately goes on then and he gives this testimony. He's saying, in the midst of the glory of God, we are afflicted in every way. We're in tribulation. We are afflicted every way, but not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not abandoned. We are struck down, but not destroyed. We are battling demons and worshiping the Lord simultaneously. We are fighting with weakness simultaneously with being exalted into the heavenly places in Christ. Do not yield to the onslaught.
That's right.
It's in the air we breathe, guys.
Yes,
I mean, there's poison in the air we breathe.
Right. Right.
There's disease in the air we breathe. But Jesus is breathing his breath on us in the midst of it. If it's true in the natural realm, we counter those toxins that are in the air by putting healthy things in our body. And let me just say, healthy things is not McDonald's, okay? We counter those things, but we got to do the same thing in the spirit realm. In the spirit realm. And again, does a giant spoon come out of heaven and feed you the right food to counter the toxins that are in there? No, you have to do it. So many of us, we just sit there and we just let the enemy make us lost. Make us lost. But we need to go sit down on the bed and take a deep breath, breathe in and say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now, This is the theology of 2 Corinthians. This is Pauline theology. This is gospel theology. This is New Covenant ministry theology. And it is completely pertinent to the Lord's Supper. Because Paul, in 1 Corinthians, says, when we partake of the body and blood of the Lord, we do demonstrate the Lord's death until he comes. Now, to demonstrate the Lord's death until he comes means he didn't stay dead. He was raised from the dead.
Right.
See, you have to understand what our lives are. Pastor, disciple me. Pastor, mentor me. Pastor, help me to follow Jesus. Well, here's how I help you. Our lives are a constant working out of the death and the resurrection of Jesus. When Jesus says, pick up your cross and follow me, does that mean when I get old and mature in the Lord, everything's going to be fine? No, when you get old and mature in the Lord, it's going to be the same as it is right now.
That's right.
You're going to be assaulted by the enemy, but the Lord is going to raise you up. You are going to be afflicted, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed, walking in death, those assaults of sin, those assaults of the enemy, those assaults of legalism, those assaults of false prophecy, those assaults of just nasty, nasty people. Contrasted by Jesus saying, oh, step aside.
That's right.
I'm here too. I'm in the midst. And guess what? I'm glorious. I'm light. And the light will never be overcome by the darkness. And so we work out these difficulties by being raised from the dead. We work out the death by the Lord countering it with his life. We work it out while the enemy is assaulting me with death and the Lord is saying, son, let the light shine in the midst of worship.
Yes.
We overcome, we gain the victory. We, all right, and I'm gonna quote I'm gonna quote Chuck Porta. We always, what does always mean in the Greek? That's what Chuck will say. What does always mean in the Greek? Means always. We always carry the death of Jesus in our mortal bodies. Always means 24/7. There's this death is around us. In fact, it's in our mortal bodies. You may not know that, but you're older now than you were a minute ago. And you're closer to death than you were a minute ago. I always say this, and people get insulted, but I insult people all the time anyways, and I'm not going to stop at this age. The moment the child comes out of the womb, a child begins to die. That's reality. That's life. Our bodies are carrying in it death. But our bodies manifest the life of God, because we have a treasure in earthen vessels. Here's the vessel, death. Guess what's inside? Life, eternal life. And eternal life doesn't just mean life that goes on a long time. What it actually meant in the Hebrew and the Greek, Old Testament, New Testament, age-abiding life. Ages come and go, but the life of God within us abides. It remains. It triumphs. So when you find yourself in the midst of death, keep looking to Jesus. Another one of my frequently quoted Winston Churchill statements, when you find yourself walking through hell, keep walking. Keep walking. And what it means is that Jesus always triumphs. His life, the death and resurrection of the Lord, which we are celebrating every single time we partake of the Lord's Supper, the death and the resurrection of the Lord, is the mark of discipleship. When will this suffering end? Not in your lifetime. Why? Because Jesus sees your suffering, your struggles, your warfare as a chance to manifest his glory. Okay? He doesn't see it as like, oh, poor Oz, let me go hold his hand and banish this forever. Pastor, why isn't the Lord answering my prayers? He is answering your prayers. He's going to give the glory to Jesus. This is why Paul couldn't be stopped. This is why Paul said he was the greatest of all the apostles. He did say that. He said he labored more than all the apostles before him. He's saying, I have accomplished more than the 12 that walked with Jesus. He said that in 1 Corinthians 15, a few years before he wrote 2 Corinthians. But then he stops himself. He says, well, not really I, but the grace of God within me. We always carry the death of Jesus in our body so that the life of Jesus may also be displayed in our mortal body. We carry the death in our mortal body that the life of Jesus might be displayed in our mortal body. So if you find yourself walking through struggles, wait a few minutes, wait a few days. Jesus is going to manifest his glory. And that's what discipleship is. It's just, it's not, how long do I have to endure this before I can give it up? No, it's just keep pressing through because Jesus has promised. He is faithful. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake. For Jesus' sake, so that Jesus' life may also be displayed in our mortal bodies. And then Paul says an amazing thing here. And you know why? This is how it works. Well, first of all, you're not the center of the universe. Life is not about you. Jesus didn't die to make your life comfortable. Jesus died to make your life powerful. Jesus made your life the way it is so that you could manifest his life. Jesus made your life the way it is so you could bring glory to him and find then that real satisfaction comes from doing it God's way. You got a hindrance right now. You can believe Jesus or you can believe death.
Yes, that's right.
You got difficulties, you got problems, you got things that aren't working out. Believe Jesus because he has constructed your life so that there would be specific difficulties so he could manifest his glory. Now, see, the first level of displacement is to get yourself out of the center and put Jesus in the center.
That's right.
The second level of displacement is get yourself out of the center and put others in the center. Paul says, so then death is at work in us, but life in you. When the Lord manifests his life to me in the midst of my difficulties, I receive his grace. I have grace now that I didn't have before he worked that grace into my life. Now I can become a dispenser of grace for everyone else. And so every suffering and difficulty I go through are for two things: God's glory, and now I have grace to minister life to others. And then there's a third thing that takes place when we do that. Then I find out what true life fulfillment is all about. And since we have the same spirit of faith, and see, all Paul's telling you is the new covenant ministry is ministry of faith. And since we have the same spirit of faith in keeping what is written, I believe, therefore I spoke. He quotes Psalm 116:10, which is a psalm that's crying out to the Lord to be delivered in the midst of difficulties. We also believe and therefore speak. For we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus will also raise us with Jesus and present us with you. Wow. You know how real unity comes about? When I suffer, receive grace, minister grace to you, and you receive that grace and minister that grace to somebody else. And that's how real unity works. So you know how real division works? When I refuse to submit to the grace of God. And when I refuse to submit to the grace of God, I have no grace to give to everyone else. And so what do I give? Well, you know, there were, I hate to say this, but it's unfortunate that I know these things, but you know what earthen vessels were used for? Mm-hmm. To carry out the waste, to carry out fecal and urine. If I don't have God's gold in a vessel, I might be giving some other things out to people. And Paul knew what he was talking about. He knew what he was talking about. He said in Timothy, well, there are different kind of vessels that are used in people's house. They're clean vessels and unclean. What do you think's in the unclean vessel? Okay. So division, when I see, this is where, you know, when I say I'm spoiled, I'm going to be a brat, I'm going to demand what I want, I'm going to be angry, and you hinder the grace of God from being released in your life, which the Lord just says, can I set you free from some uncleanness here? When we refuse to do that, we stop the work of grace in others, and we bring division. What's the source of division? My disobedience. See, this is how I see life. This is how I live life. I can't help but sharing these things to you. Everything I do, everything, it affects things for God or against God. So I go on forever and ever and ever on the Wednesday night studies. God bless those people that participate in my Wednesday night studies, because I go on and on and on saying, idolatry, idolatry, idolatry. I mean, look, the Republicans, the Democrats, racism, all that stuff, that's not what's hindering the church from getting together. Raise your hand if you're hindering the church from getting together. It's my unwillingness to be a vessel of God's grace so I can share God's grace with others. Indeed, everything is for your benefit, so that as grace extends through more and more people, you see what I'm saying? As grace extends, receive God's grace, and God's grace is being extended to more and more people. It causes thanksgiving. That's the opposite of division. You think thanksgiving? Thanksgiving causes unity. My saying, I will be the center of the universe, causes division. It may cause thanksgiving to increase to the glory of God. And then I'm going to close. Therefore, we do not give up. Wow. You know what it means not to give up? Say, I am not giving up until I see God's grace manifested in this situation in my life. Amen. I'm never going to give up. Amen. Therefore, we do not give up, even though our outer man is being destroyed. In other words, we're dying. If Paul lived in the 21st century, he would say, even though our outer person is being dissolved at a molecular level, which it is, our inner person, our inner man is being renewed day by day by day. Yep, we have warfare 24/7, but you have the renewal of God competing with that suffering 24/7. And he calls this our momentarily light afflictions, our momentarily light tribulations, and he's going back to verse 8, we are afflicted in every way. He says, yeah, but they're just momentary. If they're momentary, this is what the Spirit's been telling me. Oh, are you struggling right now, son? Are you upset? Are you confused? Are you hurt? Are you afraid? Oh, wait a few minutes. That's what God tells me. That's the word I've had for the last couple of years. Just wait a few minutes. Wait a few minutes, because he's going to move. In other words, forget about this other nonsense. He has promised us he is going to move. And he's saying, and you can forget about it because it's a momentary light affliction. And he says, it's producing for us an absolutely incomparable eternal weight of glory. So we're waiting for his grace, and his grace creates glory. We beheld his glory full of grace and truth. When does God's glory manifest in our lives? When he releases grace in us and we see the truth. And the truth is, oh, thank you, Jesus. You're it. You're the center. You're the ultimate. You're wonderful. I can do anything through Christ who strengthens me. So we do not focus on what is seen, but what is unseen. See, suffering is seen because, man, I mean, you feel it. But the unseen, which is, wait a few minutes, That's what we focus in on. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Father, we come before your throne in the name of Jesus. We partake of your body. We partake of your blood in Jesus' mighty and precious name. Glory, Lord. Grace, Lord. Faith, Lord. Hope, Lord. Love, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, good morning, everybody. And to all the mothers, happy Mother's Day. Years ago when I was working, I was too tired to go anywhere or plan anything, so I finally said, I'll celebrate Mother's Day with my girls another day, because they're mothers too. We all get the day off, and that's my present to me. I have a day off, and I love it. It's a great gift, but you know, it's really funny. One of my granddaughters has a birthday this week, so I ran out real quickly to get her something last night. And I went to a store, and there was this long line, this long line. And I was like, what's going on? Well, there must have been a coupon or something to get your ears pierced. So they were all in line to get their ears pierced. And today I'm sitting here thinking, why don't we have a line? Why don't we have a line here? We're giving out free bread and free water and free spirit, free Jesus, free. You don't even need a coupon. And here the world is so taken up. And you know, sometimes it's so easy for us just to step out and become a part of them, isn't it? We really have to do what Pastor said. We have to choose the better things.
Yes.
We really do. Things that maybe don't look like diamond earrings in the earlobe, but are bigger treasures in our hearts. So I'm going to open in prayer, and then we're going to have the women come up and share. Please don't be shy. And I see we're missing a lot of people today. I know some people were sick. Some people probably are preparing meals for their children or whatever, but I'm glad whoever made it here. They're just going to share what they experienced at the Women's Day. Our next Women's Day was moved again. It will be August 17th. And right now we have two speakers lined up. We have Allison Elliott and Jessica Thomas. Woo! So we're excited about that and looking forward to that. So I'm going to open in prayer, and then I'll share a little bit, and then I'll turn it over. Dear Lord, we are so excited to be here today in your presence. The best Mother's Day present for all the mothers here, all the women here, is your presence. There's no greater gift. Feeling your touch, feeling the anointing of the Holy Spirit is incredible. So Lord, I just ask that your presence continue to be with us in the service. Continue to be with us as we leave here and go back out into the world. Lord, may we be witnesses wherever we go, with a smile on our face, a gentle word, wherever it may be. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So Saturday, the Women's Day, was glorious. It always is, and it just keeps getting better every time. And it changes. It's never the same. No matter how we plan it, the Lord takes over and he does whatever he wants. And that's awesome. Andrea shared a message about corporate prayer. And she talked about the tree of life. And that's our theme for the year, tree of life. And I taught on it too, but she taught a different version of it. There's so many avenues you can take with it. But you know, she talked about that it was a sin of a person, a single person, Adam and Eve, single people, not obeying Jesus. And then she turned to the Tower of Babel, which was a corporate sin. Do you see the difference?
Yeah.
Sin, I can sin, but I can get a whole group of people to sin with me. Very big difference. Much more destructive. And we're seeing in our world today a lot of corporate sin going on. So that really hit me, that I don't want to fall into that. I want to cooperatively work with believers and impact the world like that, like Darius and Jessica going out with a group. They're cooperating together for the kingdom, and that's what we really want to do. It just really impressed me so much. The other thing is when Sharon Kane shared, and I don't want to say, there's so much I could share, but she gave her testimony, and it was very emotional. And I think it impacted a lot of women that day. Thank you, Sharon. And it really led to a lot of glorious things, a lot of prayer, a lot of confessions. It was really, really awesome. So I went home with those things feeling really incredible about the day, really incredible. Just seeing that we had so many visitors that day. It was awesome. It was just awesome. So with that, I'm going to let another woman come up. And there's nobody here, so you shouldn't be nervous. There's nobody here today, which is sad to me, but it is a reality. So come on up, and I have to go relieve Andrea so she can come up and share. She's probably thinking I forgot, which I do. So anyway, so I'm going to leave this here, and if anybody would like to come up and share, here comes Cindy Helvey. Pastor Cindy, great. Thank you.
It was really an amazing day, wonderful, full of unity, full of love. Both messages were great, but the one thing that really stood out to me was a phrase that Sharon used, tell the truth and shame the devil. And yes, she did give a testimony, and I think that sometimes, you know, telling the truth is, we don't tell our full story because of how it's going to affect us or because we feel it's negative toward us. But sometimes we don't tell our story, and it's like us telling our story not only brings healing to us, but to everybody around us. And I think that's what happened on that day. And I think testimony, our testimony is not just how we got saved. It's happening every day of our lives. We're creating our testimony, or it's happening. It's being created. And we go through so much, and it's important to be truthful and honest. And not just, we're talking a lot about unity lately, and we like not just pointing out other people's issues or faults or looking around at us and being critical, but looking at ourselves and, you know, thinking about those things that we struggle with, maybe something that we're so ashamed of or something that we're so... I don't know. It just feels like nobody can know about this. And I'm sure we've all gone through those moments. I have too, a long time ago. And it's like, sometimes those are the very things we need to share, because that's a key to unlocking something in our spirit. And also it's a key to unlocking something in somebody else's spirit. And it can be very powerful. And I just wanted to say that.
Hello, church. Happy Mother's Day to everyone that's a mother. Thank you. I jotted down a few notes, and of course, I love coming together with the women. The Bible says that iron sharpens iron. So we need each other to just get together as women and fellowship together. I loved it. It was a great day. And the food was good. I don't see the cooks here today, but it was amazing. But I wrote down a few things that Pastor Andrea was saying. And she was just talking about how God wants us to have a relationship with him. And he does. We must It's imperative that we do. And I was listening back, actually, to her message, and I was like, wow, God bless her. She was just sharing how, as a homeschool mom, and then she had another job, and then she was here at the church, but she still found time for the Lord, you know. And so, you know, that stuck with me. As for my testimony, the enemy fought me tooth and nail the whole time. I have at least maybe 8 messages I think I got just getting to that one message. Because I was like, you know, Lord, I'm not ready to say that yet, especially in front of people. But he said, no, but you, I want you to say it. You need to get that out. Other people need to hear your testimony. And but when I got home, the enemy really came in. He was like, now see what? I told you shouldn't do that. You know, now people are going to really be looking at you. And Teresa came up to me the very next day, and she said, are you under spiritual warfare right now? And I kind of looked at her like, oh, how you know? Yeah, I was. The enemy attacked me really hard. But it's okay. It's okay, because I was obedient. God gave me how to say it. He gave me what to say. He gave me every scripture. And I was obedient to how he wanted me to do it. So anyway, it was a great day, and I can't wait for the next one. Amen.
Yeah, I just, you know, her testimony was powerful. And, you know, the thing that struck me about it was how much courage it takes to share some of the things that she shared. And I was so blessed because she trusted us to do that. And I thought, what an honor, Lord, when somebody trusts you to tell you things that aren't easy to say. And her obedience blessed me, and I'm sure it blessed others. And, you know, I think when you hear people's testimony, the part of the power is that it really does increase your love for that person, I think. I feel so much closer to Sharon now than I ever have before, because it was so intimate and personal. And it really did open up something in the spirit for people to also share things that were hard to share. And I love testimony. I mean, you know, I remember at the backpack outreach, they asked me to share last year. And I'm like, oh, I didn't think much of it, you know, and I walk my dog a lot, and I pray a lot when I walk. And I was like, oh, wait a minute, this is a bunch of kids. I can't share my testimony in front of a bunch of kids. And it was, I really struggled with it, because I had to like PG my testimony, and it is not a PG testimony. And I don't want to get into it now, but there is so much power in the raw honesty, yes, of how dark and what filthy type of vessel you were and still are. I mean, let's face it, but and what Jesus can do to that. You know, you never know who you're sitting next to. You really don't. You don't know what they've been through. You know, maybe that guy walking around with that basket used to taking your money used to be a drug dealer. You don't know. Maybe the person sitting next to you was molested. You don't know. I mean, we do not know, really, because we're kind of cleaned up when we come here, aren't we? And when you've been walking with the Lord a long time, I hope you're really cleaned up, you know? But we really don't know what people have been through. And, you know, there's just such power in Jesus. There's such power. And you know what? When you hear a testimony, it reminds you. And I think that's a good thing. And then the thing that Andrea spoke about with Babel being, they were unified in sin. And like Pastor Jan said, how powerful and destructive that is. You know, and Pastor talked about us being in unity. And, you know, how powerful is our unity in Christ to overcome that unity of sin? You know, and I'll never forget that because it never dawned on me that they were in unity in sin. But it was amazing. I love Women's Day. It's always a blessing. It just really, it's always a blessing.
Good morning. It was amazing. I mean, I'm sure everyone's already said that. Sharon's testimony was so powerful. And I think the thing that has really just stayed with me with that was her forgiveness. For not only forgiving, but years later, she took care of the person who hurt her. That is just such a picture of grace, of God's grace. I mean, we can't do that on our own, you know? So, you know, the Lord's just been, since then, that's just stayed with me, that whole forgiving, but also forgiving in our actions. And so the Lord's just, I feel like he's just been speaking to me since then about forgiveness, and things have been popping up in my mind. So, you know, have I really forgiven this person? I mean, could I do that? Could I take care of the person who hurt me? Or the other thing that has kind of come to me is, you know, we talk about in destructive relationships having to have boundaries, which is legitimate, definitely, you know. But sometimes I think we haven't fully forgiven someone, and we leave them where they were when they hurt us. And it's not necessarily a destructive relationship, and we put boundaries in place that shouldn't be there, because we, you know, maybe it was a one-time thing, but we say, oh, that person did this, and this is how they are, this is how they're going to be with us. And so we do not, we forego a relationship that the Lord wants us to have using placing boundaries as an excuse. I don't know if that totally makes sense, but, and then the other thing is just, you know, when we don't forgive people, we tend to take our wounds and our hurts and place it on other people. Maybe someone else reminds us of that person, or someone says something that reminds us of that person, and we can distance ourselves from each other. And not, like Teresa was just saying about how Sharon really had to have a lot of trust to share what she shared, and we can distance ourselves and keep away from, you know, relationships that the Lord wants us to have. He wants us to be unified. He wants us to be together. He wants us to sorrow with each other and rejoice with each other. And so that's really, that just act of forgiveness and just God's grace. It's God's grace that causes us to be able to walk in forgiveness. And that is so powerful. And that is part of how we walk in unity with each other, is by walking in true forgiveness.
Good morning. I had a wonderful time. I came towards the second half of the Women's Day, and before I came, I was teaching ballet classes the beginning part of the day, and so I was so excited. I was like, okay, I'm done. I'm ready to go and just be in God's presence. And as soon as I got here, I just felt love and felt his presence. And something, scripture always touches me. It touches any believer, every believer. But one of the verses that stood out to me the most was Proverbs 3, 4 and 5, where it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. And all thy ways acknowledge him, and he'll direct your paths." And it was a lot of things I was dealing with. And then when I heard that, that was the first thing. I was like, okay, I can trust God. I can do that. I can trust him. It'll be all right, you know. And then something that Ms. Sharon had shared, which is, again, was very, very powerful and stuck with me, but also Psalm 139. I don't know if many of you know that, but I'm going to go there today. I'm going to read it because it's powerful. But I'm going to read Psalm 139, ESV, it says, "Oh Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all together. You hem me in behind and before and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain it. Where shall I go from your spirit, or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light about me be night, even the darkness is not dark to you, the night is bright as the day, for darkness is as light with you. For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I would count them, they are more than the sand. I awake, and I am with you. I am still with you. Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God. O men of blood, depart from me. They speak against you with malicious intent. Your enemies take your name in vain. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with complete hatred. I count them my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." And this, I reflected on this psalm after hearing Ms. Sharon's testimony. And the thing was that was emphasized is that your testimony matters. Your life got written before you were even put on this planet. And as the enemy wants you not to share your testimony so that other people will not be free. And the most wonderful thing is, after hearing it, I was like, you know what? That's right. Tell the truth, shame the devil. You know, he lies to us all the time. He bombards us. But what's so beautiful is the minute that you say what happened to you, the minute that you say, I choose to forgive, it's powerful. Yeah. It is powerful. And the enemy has no choice but to flee.
That's right. And that's
what stuck with me. So praise God.
Very good.
Hello. The scripture that came to me all that week and even now is Psalm 133. How good and pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity. And I really think that the message Sharon shared is just the beginning for women and men to get freed up from physical, sexual, immoral, whatever, abuse. And that the more we share with one another, the more we're going to get to know and understand one another and not let different personalities get under our skin. Because when you don't know somebody, you don't know the truth. She spoke the truth. Now, that's going to help people understand, I guess you can say, mood swings, whatever, you know. But I'm blessed every time we have this. I'm blessed because my daughter and other daughters come here. And but not only that, we're a Gideon's army, we're a small church, but we're powerful women. And God wants to use all of us, not some, all of us, the young and old, the Jessicas, the Allisons, the Hannahs, the Emmys, all of us, the Joel Osminskis, Lord God. So, Lord, I thank you and ask that you continually burn on our hearts. Burn on our hearts to gathering.
I love you guys. In the scripture, there's a story about an illness or a malady where the little boy throws himself into the fire. And it really is a traumatic event in the scripture. But when I look at that story and what Jesus said, I believe it applies to all of us in all of our lives, in our testimonies. And Jesus said to the dad, how long has he been like this? And it was a specific malady. It was a specific time. It was a specific trauma. And I really do believe that as Pastor's been sharing about trauma and he's been sharing about forgiveness, that is really on God's heart in this time and season that we're in as a church. And when Sharon shared her story, she named a specific age that she was at 12 years old, okay? And then she linked that to the 12-year-old story in the scriptures, you know, when Jesus caused that young girl to arise. And so I really do believe that when we experience trauma, and we all have to some degree or another, right? Because we're human, we live in a world, and there's evil in the world, and there's our own sinful nature as well. And that when we have our past or our traumas affecting what we're doing in the present, that we need healing. And I do believe that God really wants a healed company of believers so that we will experience that kind of grace and be able to give it out. But what happens when there is trauma and it affects you in your present day is it really gives you a limitation. And there is power in the Holy Spirit to really get free. And one of the aspects of getting free is what Andrea mentioned today is forgiveness, real forgiveness. I mean, we've been going on that theme for weeks and weeks and weeks because it's so central to our faith that we really not only confess forgiveness, but act on it. And as Sharon's story was that the person that hurt her, she was able to serve. I experienced that as well with my own dad, and because he was really a very hard man to live with. But at the end of his life, I became one of his caretakers as well. But really, my point is this. Jesus asks all of us, how long have you been like this? How long have you suffered from depression? How long have you lived with shame? How long has fear controlled your life? Whatever it is, ask the Holy Spirit to show you, because God is able to go to the pain and the very significance of that trauma and heal you. Although your memories don't change, you can't change history, but how it affects you is very, very possible to overcome and to walk in that kind of grace and victory as you allow the Lord to touch you. And one of the ways that we do that is with what was spoken of by Cindy and Sharon both, is that we identify the specific thing. Now, it could be just a theme of fear all your life. It could be something specific, like Mary said, a time of abuse, you know. And see, the thing is, when we receive that healing, we are being able to share it as it was shared and impart that grace, as Pastor was talking about today. We are able to impart that kind of grace to others. Your story benefits
other people. And as long as you are anchored to that trauma, you do not have the grace to be able to share it in a way that is liberating to others. So my encouragement to you is, as the Lord is speaking to all of us on a deeper and deeper level, really, right? The onion peeling away and crying. That was revelatory too for me, by the way, when Minister Carolyn was talking about how we deal with things like that onion peeling away, but while that's happening, we're crying. When you're experiencing or re-experiencing that triggered trauma or memory or whatever the case may be, you cry, you know. A lot of times you cry. But God gets to the root of it, and in its place it says he plucks up. He will pluck up that pain, that woundedness, and he will plant. He will plant new life. And so I believe that as we cooperate with the Holy Spirit, and as the Lord says, how long have you been like this, Janine? How long have you been like this, Scott? How long have you experienced this, Allie, or whoever you may be, all of you? How long? And you can be specific, then God has the ability to bring that light and to free you in a way that not only, as Pastor said today, frees you, but frees others.
Good. This is morning or afternoon? Afternoon. I'm not going to be before you long. I wasn't able to be here for the women's retreat. I was in Washington with my daughter. She and I, we flew to Washington. And the reason why we were there, and we serve such a good God, and I'm here to give him all the glory, the praise, and the honor, because we can do nothing without him. And so we flew to Washington on the behalf of my granddaughter, who received a full scholarship at Howard University. Yes, give him the praise and glory and the honor. And so we flew there because the Karsh Foundation is the foundation that funded her education for 4 years, all expenses paid. And so they did it was their day of award. It was their award day that day to celebrate all the students that were under the Karsh Foundation. And they asked her, would she speak on that day? And so she's very poetic. So she did create a poem, and she was able to speak. And so that's why we flew there to Washington. That's why I missed. She also sung in the gospel choir that same day at 6 o'clock. And she did share with me that Stevie Wonder did show up. And so that's why I missed. So anyway, I just want to give God the glory and the praise because on Friday of this week, my family flew down, some flew, some drove. I didn't go. I watched it on Zoom. So they went down there because my granddaughter, she did graduate on Friday from Howard University, and they asked her to open up with the prayer. My granddaughter is saved, born again, filled with the Holy Ghost. And so she did open up in prayer. She did get her degree on Saturday. Saturday was the general. Everyone could be there at the general. My granddaughter, her name is Kennedy Chastain. She, this is what her mother wrote. She has worked tireless to achieve her goals. She's relentless, beautiful, kind. She is a 4.0, summa cum laude. Phi Beta Kappa. Honor college graduate with a BS in chemistry and a minor in Spanish. But most important than any of that, she's unashamed of proclaiming the name of Jesus Christ, her Lord. And so I just wanted to share that with the young people here, that you can do all things through Christ, right, which strengthens you. Right. If you don't succeed, don't blame it on nobody else. Okay, and sometimes our own worst enemy is ourselves. That's right. And we can hinder our own self from progressing, from going forward. But God, I mean, he's got a big heart. And you can achieve, you can go forward, you can go to school, you can do whatever you want to do, whatever your passion is. You can do it. You can. And so I just want to share with you my excitement. I am a very proud grandmother. Thank you so much. I thank you for your prayers. And I just give God all the glory and all the praise. And my family, they love the Lord. And sorry I wasn't able to be here, Pastor Jan. But I'll be here if the Lord say the same. I'll be here at the next one. God bless you. I continue to pray for my family. My granddaughter plans to go to University of Kentucky to continue her education. She is going into the medical field. So we're waiting for her to be received in the medical school. So just pray for Kennedy Chastain. God bless you.
I received a text from Darlene to share on her behalf. She was in a lot of pain. As a lot of you know, she had an accident, and she went to the doctors this morning, got a shot, and she's resting at home. Darlene was prayed. I was looking for Teresa. Come on up. Teresa knows better than I what exactly happened, and so does Sharon and Louise, too. She just wanted to testify. Can you share what exactly happened when you prayed for her? She just said that she received Jesus and she was delivered.
Yeah, Sharon's testimony really stirred up some stuff for Darlene, and she shared some things that she hadn't shared before, except with a couple other people here at church once before. And can you not hear? Sorry. And so she did. She got some ministry. I believe she did get some deliverance. And once again, it's just such an honor. I mean, she had seen my face before, but she didn't know me, really. I mean, and I said that to her. I said, you know what? Thank you for sharing this, because I said, you don't even know me. She goes, no, I don't. I don't know you. It was just precious. It was just precious. But in sharing that testimony that she had, that one little part, it really did bring her freedom and allowed the church to be able to minister to her and get her some freedom. So that was awesome.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. I don't want Darlene mad at me. So, when Jessica was sharing, I forgot about Psalm 139. And I remember when I heard the scripture, I will praise you for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. I struggle, and I don't know if a lot of the women do, with identity. And when that was prayed, when that was shared, I really sat up straight. Because I fight a lot of demons about who I am and all kinds of things. And Janine always says, I don't know why you're like that. And I don't know why I'm like that either. But I do know that I have to change, that God has fearfully and wonderfully made me. And whatever that means, you know, I was, my one granddaughter, I was with her, and she's like a bone. She's like so skinny. And I said, I am so fat. She said, Nana, quit saying that. And I said, no, I am. And she said, why do you care? Why do you care? I go, well, I care, you know. People see me this way. And she said, you shouldn't care about what people think. You know, you are who you are. Don't worry about it. And when a 17-year-old tells you, you know, not to go there. It's pretty sad, isn't it? You know, I'm really trying to overcome that. And that was really brought up at the Women's Day. And I think there's a lot of us in here that fight with that You know, I'm not like so-and-so. I wish I looked like so-and-so. And we are so bombarded by the world and all these influencers. Well, you know, good for you. And you should look like that. You're getting paid for that, but I'm not. So, you know, and you get face work. Good for you. That's your job. It's not mine, you know. So, but it's hard to get bombarded with that constantly and feeling like, you know, you're old. And when you get old, let me just say this. That you're not always treated the same way. And that's really heartbreaking because inside I feel the same way. But when I go places, people see an old lady. They don't see Jan inside. And it hurts. It really does hurt. And I remember my mom saying to me, you'll understand one day when you're older. And boy, I do. So for some of you that are young, remember that because one day you will be older. And it's not fun when people just push you aside and disregard you. You know, we hear about it a lot in the medical field that, well, if you're old, they just think you're going to die. Well, I'm not ready to die yet. So do what you can. Do your magic on me. But anyway, that was really very moving for me to hear that. And I have to keep reading that scripture over and over. And thank you, Jessica, for sharing that because it was really moving. So I do also want to thank all the women in this church. And I didn't do this. You know, we had awesome food. Lisa prepared it, and her daughter helped, and I think Amber helped. And Jessica did, I mean, and Janine does all the decorating. It's phenomenal. And now we have a picture here that always will be with us. We're trying to figure out where to hang it. And it's just all because of the women here. It's really incredible. And I know this isn't a competition, but we have a lot more women than men coming on our day. So just had to say that. Did everybody share? Lydia, do you want to come up? Don't be afraid. Don't. You brought your mother and your daughter. That was awesome. Just come on up and share about that. And a lot of ladies in here brought their daughters and mothers and friends. It was really awesome. Thank you, Lydia.
Yes, the sharing at the women's meeting, I really appreciated it. I needed it. There was the sharing of her experience. It opened up a feeling inside my gut that I'm still dealing with. It's a struggle. And like Pastor Oz was saying earlier, you know, you're struggling with the enemy on this side and, you know, the Holy Spirit on the other side. And I'm thankful to be a part of the women's group and of the church because I need spiritual guidance. I need reinforcement from the world, not being in the world, but in a group of people that can help, you know, encourage and help lift my spirit up through the grace of Jesus. So I thank everybody. And
Well, as always, the Women's Day was just such an amazing time, just spending with all the women and growing relationships and getting to know everyone here. One of the things that my mom shared that really stuck out to me was when Adam and Eve ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, their understanding of good and evil became their own, rather than God's understanding of good and evil. And those of you that know me, I'm a bit of a perfectionist. and so that's something that's really just kind of just been in my mind ever since she shared it, that little thing that stuck out. And Miss Sharon's testimony was so powerful, and she shared about forgiveness. And being a perfectionist, I often get hung up on right and wrong or good and evil and my understanding of it. And that makes truly forgiving people a challenge sometimes, because I'm so hung up on, well, this is my take on it. I was in the right. And I feel like sometimes I have to be justified before I can forgive someone. And that's not true. You don't, like, that's not the case. And so one of, just God's really been working on, I'm trying to see things more from his perspective rather than my understanding of good and evil and my understanding of a situation or of right and wrong. And really extending forgiveness to people, even if I'm not justified in the situation, even if I was right and they were wrong, that doesn't mean that I can't still extend forgiveness. So just hearing Miss Sharon share her story of how she extended forgiveness to someone that hurt her in that way was so powerful. And yeah, that's it.
So well. All right. I don't really have anything a ton to add that hasn't been said already. My mom and Miss Sharon were wonderful. I love the women's days because you get to hear a different speaker every time. So you get to hear a different perspective of how things are seen. It's such a wonderful experience. And honestly, from the moment that I walk in, every time, it's just so, I don't know, like the fellowship, like it's just so, such a joyous experience just being surrounded by everybody. And I feel like we're getting like more women every time. So it's great. And the worship is great. The food is great. So it's just a great time. If you haven't been before, make it to the next one because it's wonderful.
I wasn't going to share because the people that have already shared have shared what was on my heart, what we went through that day, you know. But I just kept thinking as everybody was sharing how in we come, when we all have those areas of darkness in our lives, and we come together and we share some things, you know, that like Sharon said, we tell the truth and shame the devil, you know, but we have those shameful things. And that day, what was going through my head when she said that was, Pastor Alex always said, we all have thoughts that have shamed hell. And, you know, it's like, oh, yeah, I guess we did, you know. But we bring God's light in to overcome that darkness, you know, and we can be bearers of that light for one another. It's just, it's such a blessing. It's so incredible to see how God moves and he puts all the pieces. It's like this, well, like a machine, I guess. I don't know if you want to put it like that, but it all moves together and all the pieces come in. And then what was shared here brought the light into somebody else's darkness over here. What was shared there brought forgiveness in somebody's heart, you know. What was shared there allowed that person to overcome the things, the lies of the devil, you know. I'm like Pastor Jan, you know. I struggled with thinking I was fearfully and wonderfully made all my life. That reminded me that, you know, we are fearfully and wonderfully made in the image of our Creator, you know. So I just wanted to share that how we come together and we can share, you know, and I'm not saying just, you know, share it all. I mean, sometimes people share too much, you know. I'm like, but we share some of those things that God tells us, you know, that will bring that light to somebody else, to bring comfort, because God comforted us. You know, Scripture says, you know, that we go through those things and we're comforted by God so that we can comfort others with that same comfort, you know. So that was incredible. I love those days. God is so on the move here, you know, and I really, I hope God moves in the men this weekend again. You know, he did last time, but I really think that God is bonding and building and bringing all these pieces together for something incredible. Amen. So, amen.
Okay, I'm going to close things down. My wife said she's not coming up a third time, so I have to come up for my wife. She said all the good things she was saying, and we are on the same page, because I said, well, why didn't you bring up and all the great worship by Allison? And she turned to me and says, oh, I forgot to bring up all the great worship by Allison. So thank you for all the great worship too, Allison. Lord, we close this day, Father. It's Mother's Day, Lord. We release everybody to go home and just have a good time and rejoice before the Lord with a mother or a grandmother or with your family. And Lord, thank you for moving powerfully in our midst. In Jesus' name we pray it. Amen.